Invite your attention this morning in the word of the Lord to the book of 1 Thessalonians, I mean 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Beginning in verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, this morning that you have given us today, this day of life, that we might today glorify you and lift you up. And this morning, Lord, we pray that you will remove all of our sins and iniquities from us. This Father, today, that you will forgive us of all of our shortcomings. And Father, this morning, that we might, as we stand and declare thy word, receive the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, this morning, as we go forth now, we pray that we might glorify Jesus Christ, thy Son. In his wonderful holy name we pray, amen. There was a song very popular several years ago, and I think this morning as I listened to the lyrics of that song in my head again, that is really relevant for the times in which you and I lived. The song was entitled, Jesus is Coming Soon. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedoms we all hold dear now is at stake. Saved from the chastening rod, seek the way the pilgrims trod. Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. I want to tell you this morning that I believe that Jesus is coming soon. I believe that troublesome times are here, that men's hearts are filled with fear. That this morning we look around the world and we see crises in every corner of the globe. And that simply tells me today that Jesus is coming soon. Paul, in his preaching and teaching as he traversed the globe of his day, as he went about declaring the unsearchable riches of Christ, I believe this morning taught and believed in the coming of Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As a matter of fact, as you read this passage of Scripture and you look this morning in verse number 5, Paul tells this church, these people, to look back, to reflect. And he says, remember. Sometimes we just need to remember. We need to remember. Remember ye not that when I was with you, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. I believe this morning that the Apostle Paul, as he taught and as he preached the gospel of Christ, that one of the gospel's messages that he preached today had to do with the return of Jesus Christ to this world. He told in Titus that he was our blessed hope. He talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 about how that we shall be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. Well, I believe that everywhere that Paul went, that part of his message this morning was Jesus Christ coming again. The disciples certainly believed it because as he was about to ascend back into glory, and as he was giving them their marching orders, as he was giving them what their mission was to be in life from that point on, one of them asked him, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They believed that Jesus Christ was coming back to set upon the throne of his father David. And this morning we find today that Paul, as he, in this particular passage of Scripture, talks about something very interesting this morning. He says that I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. We're going to be harvested unto the Lord Jesus. We're going to be gathered together unto him. This morning, one of these days, we're going to hear the Master say, come up hither. You see, this morning, we're heavenward bound. We're headed this morning for that place that God has prepared for us. I'm glad this morning that I can have hope in this world of hopelessness. I'm glad that we can have a light in this world of darkness, and that light is Jesus Christ and his return to this earth. Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if Christ hadn't risen from the dead, he would be of all men most miserable. And you think this morning as you view the things that are taking place in this world in which we live, we see all of the things that are happening, and if we did not have the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, we could say that we would be of men most miserable today. It would be a misery to live this morning in a world like this without the hope of God. And that's what Paul is speaking to these people here today. He's talking about our hope, our time when we will be gathered together with the Lord. But then he says in verse number 2 that we should not be disturbed. Don't be disturbed. Don't be shaken this morning. He says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. He said, don't get shaken up. Don't get troubled. Don't get your focus off of the Lord. You see, this morning it's talking here kind of like if you were to go out to an apple tree and that apple, all those apples hanging on it, and they would begin to shake that tree and make the apples fall. Up above Smipple on Highway 25, there's a pecan orchard. And every year, Jimmy Douglas Cowley harvests his pecans, and he takes a big tractor out there with some kind of machine, and he shakes those trees till all of those pecans begin to fall. And then he goes back with another machine and picks them up. And Paul says, we don't need to be shaken like that. We don't need to be troubled. We don't need to be disturbed. We don't need to be removed from our right position. Sometimes we get all of these things and we see all of this happening and we get a little bit shaken. We get our eye off of the Lord Jesus. We don't keep our eye upon him. You know, one thing that you learn in baseball is to always keep your eye on the ball. Always make sure your eye is on the ball. You say, why is that? Because nothing happens without the ball. Now think about that. If you're umpiring a baseball game and you're out there, and the one thing you better make sure of, you know where the ball's at. Because if you don't, you can get in a mess. And you see, you always keep your eye on the ball, because nothing happens without the ball. You know what we have to do as God's people? Keep our eye upon Jesus. We have to keep our eyes upon the Lord, because nothing's going to happen without God. That's what Paul is saying. Don't be shaken up. Don't be disturbed. Don't lose any sleep. Don't be troubled. He said it doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what somebody tells you. He said don't get disturbed. Don't get worked up. Don't be shaken. Don't lose that position. Just keep your eye upon Jesus. You see, this morning we are to keep our eye upon Him as the captain of our salvation, as the anchor of our souls today, as the hope that we have. What other hope could we have this morning than the Lord Jesus Christ? So Paul is telling this church that they should not be disturbed. He said, neither by spirit. He said, there's a lot of lying spirits in this world. There's a lot of spirits today that'll tell you things that are not true. Nor by word, nor by letter. As from us, Paul said, if somebody writes you a letter and says it's from us, and it shakes up your faith, it's a forgery. It's not true. It didn't come from me. And so this morning we need to read the Bible. We need to keep our eyes upon God. And this morning, never be disturbed. Never this morning allow something today to get our eyes off our hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Then he says in verse number 3, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. There's a lot of things that will deceive you in this world. You see, we find that a lot of people this morning are deceived about many things. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, you find that Jesus, as he's answering some of his disciples' questions about his coming and the end of the age, he says some things that this morning maybe we ought to take heed to a little more often. Verse number 4, and Jesus answered. Here's the Lord's answer. This is God's answer, not my answer. Not this morning somebody's opinion. But and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed. Take heed. Listen. You better listen to what I'm saying. I used to have a good friend, and his dad would always say these things. He'd say, now, boy, you hear me? Yes, sir. Well, I'm telling you right now, you better heed me. You say, what did he mean? He meant when we heard him, we better do what he said. We better take heed. We better pay close attention. Wasn't just hearing, but it was paying close attention. Take heed that no man deceive you. You see, Jesus recognized and knew that we were capable of being deceived. We can be deceived this morning. And so Jesus said, take heed, be careful, pay careful attention that no man deceive you. He said, why is that, Jesus? For many shall come in my name. A lot of folks are going to come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. A lot of people are going to be teaching in the name of Christ. Brother John said that the spirit of Antichrist is already in this world. A lot of people are out there today deceiving many people through their teaching that they are come and sent from God. Then he said, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled. There's that word again. For all these things must, M-U-S-T, They have to be. Must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And he goes on and on, but he's saying here that same thing as Paul is saying, don't be deceived. Don't let somebody deceive you by any means. Don't be tricked and seduced this morning. Many years ago, when they used to have only a few college football games on each year, not like now where you can watch it probably every night of the week, I used to enjoy New Year's Day because I could watch football all day long. All the bowl games were lined up. I remember watching many years ago when Ohio State was playing somebody in the Rose Bowl. I don't remember who they were playing now. But Ohio State had a quarterback by the name of Rex Kern. And they were right down on the goal line, needing to score to win the Rose Bowl. And as they got lined up on the line of scrimmage, and Rex Kern took the snap, and he turned and stuck it in the fullback's belly, and everybody piled up, and the referees were trying to unpile them to see where the ball was at. And everybody was looking around. Here Rex Kern was standing in the back of the end zone holding up the football. Everybody missed him. He just kept it and run into the end zone with it. He deceived everybody. See, sometimes we get deceived. As Paul said, we don't keep our eye on the ball, and we miss something, and somebody seduces us and tricks us into something that's not true. That's what Paul is saying here. We better not be deceived. He said, don't be deceived. You see, a lot of preachers deceive. There's a lot of untruth being spewed forth from pulpits today. There's a lot of things that are being said that are untruths. They take a bunch of truths and try to string them together, and they take a bunch of misconceptions and they lead people astray. Paul said, don't be deceived. Politicians deceive us. See, we live in a deception and a deceptive age. Most of the time today, we find that people will tell one lie so they can prop up another lie, the way my grandma always said it. There's a lot of people being deceived. But Paul said, don't be deceived. Then he said, don't depart. He said, for that day shall not come, except there coming a falling away first. A falling away. A departure. Literally an apostasy this morning. And it means to simply depart from the truth. Don't depart from the truth. I'm convinced that maybe, the greatest sign of the return of Jesus Christ is this thing called apostasy. It's this departure from the truth. If you look at it today, and it's departing from the Word of God, it's departure from God's Word this morning. You can turn over to the little book of Jude, only one chapter in the book of Jude. But as you read it and you read it through, you find how powerful a little book that it is. And you think about the place that God placed it in the canon of sacred scripture. You look at the Bible today, and it's so unique. It's so wonderful, and God so wonderfully preserved it for us. But have you ever thought how that God placed the Bible exactly like it needs to be placed? And the little book of Jude is right before the book of Revelation. It's kind of like the foyer of the church. You go through Jude to get to Revelation. I believe that God is teaching us here in the book of Jude that here you can read the great sign before the coming of the Lord. Jude is actually could be called the Acts of the Apostates. Verse number 4, Jude tells us, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. Ungodly. Not godly, but ungodly. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a bunch of folks have crept in. They have snuck into the church. And they've turned God's grace into lasciviousness. They're saying that God this morning is not true to the Bible. He describes them in verse number 11. Here's these folks that have crept in. Here's how they're described. For they have gone in the way of Cain. Now what was the way of Cain? The way of Cain this morning was a way of self-righteousness. It was a way today of what I think is right. I'm going to bring the fruit of my hand because I think that's better than the way that God said to do it. You see, these apostates, this departure from the truth is a religion today of what we think. This is my opinion. You can have yours and I can have mine, and all roads lead to heaven. Ella told me one time, said, well, you can go a lot of different ways to Amory. I said, I'm not going to Amory, I'm going to heaven. Amen. There ain't but one way to heaven, understand that. That might not be good English, but it's the truth. But there's the way of Cain. That's to say that, hey, my way is as good as your way. It doesn't matter what God said, I'm going to go my way. That's the way of Cain. Then he said, the era of Balaam. What was Balaam? Balaam this morning wanted the profit. He wanted the money. He wanted the fame that he could get from cursing the Lord's people. But he was afraid of God in one way. And you see, a lot of people today are running greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. They're only doing what they can do for what they can get out of it. That's an apostate. Hey, listen to me. So many people today only serve the Lord for what they can get out of it, for reward. I look around and I see all of the things that come through the mail and the emails and all the things that I get about how to grow churches, how to attract people to our church on Sunday, how to attract people for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. I receive all of these things and all of the resources, and they put out all of this stuff, but I very seldom ever say anything about really testifying for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for reward. It's for how big a church we can build. How much we can do. That's the heir of Balaam. And then the gainsaying of Korah. The word gainsaying simply means to contradict and to oppose. Korah opposed Moses as the man of God. He contradicted and opposed the Lord. We're finding this morning we live in a day and age when God's word and God's people are being opposed and contradicted, even from our pulpits this morning. We're living in an age of apostasy. We have departed from the truth of God. And here they're described and told how they are this morning. See, our nation this morning has departed from the truth. Romans 1, as you want to read that when you get home, you find that that's a gutter of slime that it begins to describe of a people who turn their back upon God, who depart from the truth. And it's like reading a description of our nation this morning. It's like reading a description that God has pictured so long ago. We see moral decay. Our families are disintegrating. It's amazing this morning how departing from the truth we have so far we've come. In the National Football League, they have a running back up in Minnesota by the name of Peterson. He was charged with felony child abuse in, I believe it was Houston, Texas. They settled the case now, and they come to find out that he disciplined his 4-year-old son with a wooden switch. Now think about that. He disciplined his son with a switch, and they charged him with felony child abuse. Bruce Carter still be looking out the bars. Teresa Stim. My grandma made me go get my own switch. You talking about cruel and unusual. If it wasn't big enough, I had to go back and get another one. No wonder our families are disintegrating. Why, we are departing from the truth, folks. We live in a world that's filled with all of these things. And Paul said, hey, the day of the Lord will not come unless we see this falling away, this departing from the truth. We live in sin and fall it in God's face. Hey, look at us. We've cast off your chains. We've cast off all of these moral standards. We don't need to be married. We don't need you to tell us how to live our lives. We need to gamble. We need to drink. We need to be merry. We don't need your restraints upon our moral character. And we flaunt it in the face of God. No wonder the judgment of God is falling this morning. We mock God. We hold him in contempt. But the Bible very plainly says God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're reaping the judgment of God upon America. We're seeing it fulfilled in every day. We've cast off his chains and his restraints and said we can't discipline children. We can't have moral standards. We've got to adhere to the devil's standards today. And we see folks shooting people in schools. We see robberies. We see drug addiction. We see all of these things that we're seeing today. And then we say, why? And then we say it's the judgment of God. And somebody says, oh, you can't say that. We live in a world where people are marrying people of the same sex. We see all of these things happening. And we're saying, hey, wonder why God's judgment's on us. We've departed from the truth. Real quickly, lastly, Paul says, don't be deluded. He says some other things, but I'm going to quit there. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they believe that all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Delusion. That's when people are deluded. Because they had an opportunity to come to God. They had an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ. They had an opportunity to become part of God's family, for God to change their life. And they said, no, we want to have our own righteousness. We have got pleasure in that. And God will send you a strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. I heard Adrian Rogers one time illustrate it this way. He said, here's a man that gets mad at the church because when he went on Thanksgiving, they talked about giving. They went back, he finally went back Christmas and they talked about giving. He said, I'm not going to that church. All they want you to do is give. And he said, one Sunday morning, he's sitting in his reclining chair with his Budweiser. Somebody knocks on the door. And he opened the door and the man says, can I talk to you about the Lord? And he said, well, what about if I don't believe what you say, will I go to hell? And the man said, there is no hell. He said, come on in. A strong delusion. People are deluded today. Now listen to me carefully. I believe we live in a nation of deluded people. We've had pleasure in unrighteousness, and I believe they're facing the judgment of God. Don't be deluded. Don't think that you'll escape God's judgment. Don't think this morning that God can't turn you this morning. A lot of things happen in life. We can die. We can lose our mind. A lot of things happen. But don't be deluded, because this morning we've departed from the truth. But the great thing about it today is this. Listen to me carefully. As I said in the beginning, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Don't be deluded this morning. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we're together. We ask to take this very simple message to use it for the honor and glory of him who loved me and died for me. In his precious holy name I pray. Amen.